Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts broadcast during the week in which that parasha is read. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom and I'm delighted to be studying the second half of Sefer Shemot with you. We are now at Parashat Vayakel, which begins with Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph in Shemot. This is subsequent to the full recovenanting in the aftermath of the Egel, and now Moshe, who we have been told at the end of the previous parasha has a mask that he wears when he's not delivering a Dvar Hashem to the people, gathers the people together, and we will hear what he tells them. They have not yet, as far as we know, heard about the Mishkan. Vayakel Moshe kol adap bnei Yisrael vayomar lehem, Eile hadvarim asher tziva Adonai la'asot otam. We're going to look back at that phrase, Eile hadvarim, in about 3 minutes. Moshe gathers kol adap bnei Yisrael. This is a phrase that we hear only a few times in all of Chumash. We hear famously at the beginning of Parshat Kedoshim, he gathers everybody together, not just the leaders, not just the heads of household, but everybody together. And he says, these are the things that Hashem commanded to do. And he's going to deliver to them the mitzvah of the Mishkan and all the appurtenances and everything else related to it. However, first he prefaces it with that with which the commands of the Mishkan ended. If you recall, in the commands of the Mishkan, the final thing given to Moshe was the prohibition of working on Shabbat. And here he begins with that. Sheshet yamim te'asem melacha. And as some of the Rishonim point out, the malacha referenced here actually means the malacha of the Mishkan. For 6 days this work shall be done. Uvayom hashivir'i hiyalachem kodesh. Shabbat Shabbaton Adonai. Kol ha'osev v'malacha yumat. The seventh day is a holy day for you. It's a Shabbat to Hashem. And anyone who does malacha on that day will surely die, even if they're working on the Mishkan. And then a specific comes in here. Lo tiva'aru esh b'chol moshevotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. You shall not burn any fires in all of your settlements on the day of Shabbat. And that pasuk is a thorny one, and we'll come back to it. But first, let's go back to the first pasuk, Eile ha-devarim. Famously, we have 39 categories of melacha that are prohibited on Shabbat. Lametet avot melachot. Where did we get the number 39 from? So there are two sources in the fourth parak of Masachet Shabbat as far as where that particular number comes from. One is that there are 39 mentions of the word melacha in Chumash, and another one is from this phrase, Eile hadvarim. So dvarim implies two, hadvarim then becomes three, as it were, midrashically, and then the gematria of the word Eile is 36. So 36 plus 3 is 39. Interestingly, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, they actually just reckon the word Eile as 39. How could that be? Eile is 1 and 30 and 5, that's 36. The answer is that in the Galil, a He and a Chet was often intermingled and transferred. And as a result of that, they read it as if it read Aleph Lamed Chet, which adds up to 39. Just an interesting side note that this becomes one of the sources. Now, of course, the source for 39 Malachot is a well-studied tradition about different categories of work. But once that number is there, then we try to associate it with some basis textually, either 39 mentions of Malacha or Eile HaDevarim. The final pasuk in this little section about Shabbat, Lo Tivaru Esh, is somewhat problematic, because if, after all 39 Avot Melachot are all transmitted orally, then why is this one singled out? It is really one of only four specific Shabbat prohibitions that are mentioned. We may have one in the context of the Man, of Al Yetzei Ish Bimkomo, which may either be referring to Tchumin, as Rabbi Kiva learns it, or which may be referring, as the Gemara in Eruvin says, that it means don't take a basket with you out, and the issue of carrying. Katsir and Harish, which we saw, according to Rabbi Ishmael, about Shabbat in last week's parasha, and this one, Esh. So, Lo Tavar Ru'esh B'chol Moshevotechem may, within this context, be saying, you are not to burn any fires in your settlements on Shabbat. However, in the Mishkan, you will be burning fires. The fires of the menorah, the fire of the ketoret, the fire of the korbanot, fire on the mizbeach that's going to burn up the korbanot, etc. And it may be here to say that even though in constructing the Mishkan, Shabbat is not to be violated, but once the Mishkan is up, there will be daily avodah, including on Shabbat, that will include fire, and that fire is prohibited only outside in B'chol Moshevotechem. Interestingly enough, this pasuk led to a famous historic dispute, which in some very quiet ways still exists today, which is whether or not it's permitted to have a fire or light going on in the house on Shabbat. The Karaite position, which became prominent in the 7th and 8th centuries and onward, was that it is prohibited to have any light or fire on Shabbat at all, which means even if you light a fire before Shabbat and it's going, it must be extinguished before Shabbat starts, and therefore you have to sit in the dark and the cold on Shabbat. This is still practiced by the Karaite community today and by the Samaritan community today. Our position, of course, is that this is a prohibition against igniting a fire on Shabbat, but not on having one going. As a result of that, a very strong, anchored custom within all Jewish communities is to eat hot food on Shabbat day. And indeed, the Magen Avraham said that if you see somebody who refuses to eat hot food on Shabbat, you have to suspect that maybe he may be a closet Karaite. However, and as a result of that dispute, in the Gaonic period, there was the custom instituted, which still exists in Ashkenaz communities, to recite Mishnah Bamem Madlikin as Shabbat begins. The Mishnah that talks about all about the lighting of candles on Friday in order to have light on Shabbat. And it was done as a demonstration against the Karaites. Matter of fact, originally there was actually a bracha recited with it. That had something to do with selecting us and giving us the true Mesorah, the true tradition, in how to understand the Torah and how to behave according to Ratzon Hashem. Last comment about Lo Tevarei Esh, which is inherently significant, is why this lav is singled out of all 39, why this malacha is singled out. And we have a machloket between Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yossi, a very famous machloket, whether havara lelav yatsat or lechalek yatsat. Meaning, was it singled out as special in order to make it unique, or in order to demonstrate something about all malachot? And this comes down to a hermeneutical disagreement of method about when you have a whole group of things under one category and then one is singled out. Is it singled out to make it the exception, or is it singled out in order to teach what I know about that exception I apply to the rule? Davar shei b'chlal v'yatza min haklal l'lamed. And so according to the position that lechalek yatzat, it's l'lamed al kol kulo yatzat. It was singled out to teach you about all of the malachot, which is that just as the prohibition of lighting a fire on Shabbat is something for which you are liable, even if you do no other violation of Shabbat, similarly, all 39 malachot stand independently, and that's called lechalek. The lav yatzat would mean that actually it was singled out for itself to say all other malachot carry the punishment of karet and potentially skilah. However, Havara is less severe and is now reduced to a regular lotase, which is very serious, of course, but which then can only at the maximum get you makot. All right, that's about lotavar uesh. But now we move on. Vayom Moshe al kol adap bnei Yisrael lemor. Again, he's got the whole congregation there, and he tells them, Zeh hadavar shetziva Adonai lemor, which, by the way, is similar to Eile hadvarim shetziva Adonai lasot otam. So the same kind of beginning. And now he tells us what we already heard back in the beginning of Truma. And this part will go very quickly because, as Rashi points out in his commentary here, I've already explained Melachat HaMishkan earlier. All of these things, with slight differences in nuance, were mentioned in Parshat Truma and Tetzaveh. K'chumei techem Truma l'Adonai, Kol nediv libo yivya et terumat Adonai zahav v'chesef u'nechoshet. Now, by the way, kol nediv libo, anybody who is volunteering with his heart, who is generous in his heart, should bring terumat Hashem. This is unlike the machatzit shekel, which was specifically a gift of silver and had a specific target in its donation, as we will see at the beginning of Parashat Pekudei. ותחילת ויגמר מתולת שנים ושש ויזים ועוד אלים ועוד עמים ועוד חשים ורצי שיטים ושמן למאור ובסמים לשמן המשחה ולתור את הסמים. These are all items that we've gone over. The translation is there in case you want to revive your memory. It's there on the screen. ואבני שועם ואבני מילואים לאפוד ולחושן. And here is where we slightly deviate from the sequence that we had in Truma. So there's a second call here. The first call was for donations. The second call, which really does not appear in Truma and Tetzaveh, and appears only briefly in the beginning of Kitisa, is summoning all of those who are artisans should come and actually do the work. Et ha-mishkan, et ohalo v'et michseyu. Make the mishkan, make the tent, make the cover. The tent seems to refer to the general structure. The cover is the covers over the mishkan. Et krasav v'et krashav. Now krasav are the ties that tie together the curtains on top. Krashav are the boards. Et brichav, that's the bolts that hold the boards together. Et amudav, which are the amudim on the outside of the chatzer. Et adanav, all of the silver sockets that hold up the boards and the planks. Et ha'aron ve'et badav et ha'kaporet. So the aron, its staves, the kaporet, the golden kaporet, ve'yei parochet ha'masach, the parochet, which is the cover between the kodesh and the kodesh kadoshim. Et ha'shulchan ve'et badav et kol kelav, the shulchan, its staves, and all of its kelim, ve'yei lechem ha'panim. Now this is something very new, that the lechem ha'panim, which is not something that's manufactured, but is rather baked on a regular basis, is also is something for which we summon experts. Menorat ha'maor v'et keleha. Menorat ha'maor is a new name for the menorah of light, and its kelim, v'et nerotah on the nerot, v'et shemen ha'maor, and the oil for it, which again has to be made on a regular basis. So we're mixing together items that have to be fashioned and things that never have to be regularly manufactured. ומזבח הקטורת ופדיו ואת שמן המשחה וקטורת הסמים ומסך הפתח לפתח המשכן. מזבח הקטורת, the inner מזבח, its staves, the oil for anointing and the קטורת, and the masach ha-petach lefetach ha-mishkan, the masach, which is going to be in front of the mishkan, which is the door to the mishkan. And now on the outside, we're going from the inside outside. Ein mizbach ha-olah, v'nimichbar nachoshet ha-shelo, padav et kokelav. The mizbach ha-olah, the outer mizbeach, the michbar nachoshet, that copper bunting around it, the bronze bunting around it, at padav et kokelav, it has staves also in its kelim. Et takior et kano, the laver and its base. Eight kalea chatzer et amudav et aneha, the curtains that go around the chatzer, the poles that hold it up, and the sockets. V'eight masach shar chatzer, and its own entry cover, the doorway. Et yitot hamishkan v'et yitot hachatzer, we only heard about this at the very end of Truma briefly. The pegs to hold down the curtains of the mishkan, and for the chatzer. Veit Meitrehem, and the strings that you connect the pegs to the Mishkan. Et Bigdei Asrad, the Shrei Pakodesh, so those special clothes for the Kohanim. Et Bigdei Akodesh, the Aaron HaKohen, and Bigdei Vanav L'chaim, for Aaron and for his sons. This is the command of everything. We need materials to be brought, and we need people to work on and make these things. All right, what happens? Vayitzu Kol Adam Bnei Yisrael, l'fnei Moshe. Okay, all of Adam Bnei Yisrael now leaves the presence of Moshe to go and collect and find the right people. What happens as a result? It's beautiful. Vayavohu kol ish ashen sa'o libo. So every man whose heart lifted him up, encouraged him. And of course, this is right after the forgiveness for the Egel, so there's a certain amount of extra inspiration going on in the camp. V'chol ashen advaru cho'oto heveo trumat adonai lechato amoreo chobarato v'gdei ha'kodesh. So everybody whose spirit moved him brought the gift to God, for the work of the Ohel Moed and for the Avodah of the Ohel Moed, meaning the Melacha of building and the Avodah, the ongoing Avodah, or the Bigdei HaKodesh. V'avon HaNashim al HaNashim. So the men came more than women. Kol Divle V'Viyu Chach V'Nezem V'Tabar V'Chumaz Kol Kli Zahav. This is something we did not hear about, but this approximates in a way, in a tshuva way, what happened with the Egel. They brought all sorts of jewelry. Kol Kli Zahav V'Chol Isha She'Niv Trumat Zahav L'Adonai. So this is all of the special, and these are jewels that are typically worn by women, and all of the men who brought gifts that they raised up to Hashem. So this is where all the gold came from, which again is a kapara for the Egel, where people took off their rings in order to give gifts that ended up as part of the Egel. V'chol isha shem tzaitot tcheret v'yagavan talat shenim v'sheish v'izim. Anybody had any of those fabrics? V'chot elim odamim od chashim evio. If they had pelts from either these reddish pelts of the izim or the tchashim pelts, they brought them. Kol meirim trumat kesef u'nechoshet. Now that was zahav and fabrics. Now people who brought silver and bronze, heviyo trumat adonai. V'chol asher nimtzaito atzei shitim v'chol melachat avodah heviyo. Anybody who had acacia wood. And of course the great question is, where is this acacia wood coming from? But these people had acacia wood for some reason. They were able to bring it. There's a famous midrash that Yaakov on his way down to Mitzrayim planted these sort of trees because he knew that they were going to need them for the Mishkan. V'chol isha chachmat lev yadea tavu. Now we get to the workers. Every wise woman who had this wisdom in her heart spun with her hands, being spinning flax. V'aviyu matveh and wool, and they brought at the tribs like Gemara Talat Hashini v'Tashesh. They brought these materials: the blue-dyed wool, the purple-dyed wool, the red-dyed wool, and the linen. V'chol Hashim Hashanasal Imanotana b'Chochma Tavu Ataizim. The women who were raised up with wisdom of their heart were able to spin the goat hairs. And the princes, they were the ones who brought the precious jewels and stones. They also brought the perfume, the oil, the ma'or, for the menorah, for the shemen, and for the ktorat asamim. Kol ish v'isha shenadav li bamotam, lavi l'chol ha'mlacha shetziva Adonai asot piyad Moshe, heviyu b'nei Yisrael n'davar l'Adonai. So every man and woman whose heart raised them and pushed them to bring for all of the melacha that God commanded, they brought all of these great gifts to Hashem. So the donations went very well. We'll pick up in the next podcast as we will see how Moshe responds to this and the work it gets underway. Everyone should have a wonderful day.